Good afternoon, good evening. Welcome back to another Team List Tuesday. I am joined by Floggy and Paulie. How are we doing, Paulie?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Yeah, mate, I'm doing pretty good. It's bit of a weird week this week. I'm all out of trades. I get to sit back and watch everybody else panic and try and win their head-to-head. So it's kind of, I guess this is how Griffo has felt for the last couple of weeks.
Back on the trade gang.
Exactly. Floggy, how are you doing, mate? You've got your last couple of trades to use?
Yeah, last couple of trades, mate. Just getting more together. So it's going to be good, hopefully. Hopefully it's going to be good.
Oh, that'll be good. I was trying to work out what to do tonight, Paulie. I was listening to your show and, I mean, unfortunately, there's not a lot of variation in questions at the moment. Everything's kind of there, and all the players, you're either juggling your South players or you're juggling your Parramatta players.
Yeah.
Not a lot else going on.
Well, I think the key now is really that you've got to probably, if you've got trades left, you're probably taking some chances.
Yeah.
So you're probably going for guys with a lot of upside. And if you've got no trades left, you might be like Ross and take a flyer on a captain's choice that's unique. I think that's going to be the areas where, even if you end up not doing it, I think you've got to at least explore these possibilities.
Yeah. So what do you reckon we start off with? We start off with captaincy roulette, Paulie?
Yeah, mate. I think there's about half a dozen players, if I look at the predictor this round, where they've got really high upsides. So Payne Haar, obviously Cleary, and Isaiah Yeo from Penrith. You've got Payne Haas there. You've got Thorn Johnson, although you're worried about the injury. You've got DWZ, who people aren't really going to take a flyer on, but you could take him as a trade.
Yep.
He's got very high upside this week. And then you look at guys like Eli Katoa, Jerome Hughes from trade-in targets, Cameron Munster for a captain option, David Fifita for a captain option. And then I think one that Lukey likes is Dane Gagai as well.
Yeah. As a trade-in or as a captaincy option, you reckon?
Oh, I think it could be either, really. Trade-in at the very least. And then DCE is another one I've got on my list.
Yeah.
Probably ahead of... I don't actually have Hines with a high... Only 52 for Hines, so probably steering clear of Hines.
Larry, what about you? Where do you sit on captaincy roulette this week?
In a way of not wanting to be too boring, but honestly, I think if you want to risk it, like Manu's a ticket, right? Like every time he gets there, that's where it goes. If you really want to go spicy, but I think for me, I'm sending my last two trades this week, so I'll probably stick with Cleary and be happy that I've got Manu anyway.
Yeah, that's who I'm going to put the captaincy on. Is Manu? I've got nothing else to lose. I've been either playing with 14, or I'm playing with 17, and three of them are spuds, so I may as well just send it. So I am going to captain Manu. So apologies to anyone else that was planning on doing that. And apologies to anyone that owns the troll.
I've got him for Mixer this week, so hopefully you guys are all right for us.
Yeah, I think I'm going to double down. I think I'm going to boost him in Mixer and captain him in Fantasy as well. I really bank on him. And then I guess the other part there is that you've got to start planning for... if you've got a couple of trades left, you've got to kind of plan for the all bases sort of covered. So those guys with dual positions that you can be looking at getting in, you can be looking at a Nat Butcher. We were talking about it pre-show, there were some of those other guys with dual positions that you might look at. Paulie, some of any of those guys that you're thinking that you might look at over this week and next week is kind of...
I love Nat Butcher.
Proper coverage.
He got a massive score, didn't he, last year against West Tigers from memory?
When they feel like that's true, yeah.
could be wrong about that. But yeah, I love Nat Butcher. You mentioned Joe Marnie. I mean, that's people that own Joe Marnie, but there's a few that don't. His dual position. Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, it is the second last round now, so you probably, dual position's probably, you know, it's not as important as it was 2-3 weeks ago. I don't know. I almost feel like playing devil's advocate and doing the opposite and just pick the two players you just think have the biggest upside and just go for it. Just go for it. Don't worry about too many other things. Don't worry about what's going to happen next week. Just take a chance and go for it.
Yeah. And I guess in that sense, Foggy, I'm probably looking at someone like, Paulie mentioned him before, but someone like a Cam Munster as being one of the really good ones of going for it this week. Obviously, he had a fair bit on his mind last week with the potential birth of his baby. Guessing maybe that played a little bit into his poor fantasy score. But you can imagine this week he's going to come out and he's going to be that sort of player that sends it.
You'd expect it. So the only, I guess, they don't clash that much, but I guess the only thing that might play into maybe not so much a Munster move is the boys brought it up today, but Jerome Hughes is definitely nailing it. He's calling for the ball more. So he's demanding the ball more, which there was, yep. if you look back at a Storm game maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago, Hughes was getting the ball in the back line and on the last sometimes, and that was it. Whereas he's all over it now. So maybe yep. It was just because it was a heads up, hey, Munster's going to have a quiet one. So Hughes, we need you to step up. So he was really demanding it on the weekend. Maybe that's why. But yeah, I think now's the time to send it. Like you're not going to have much trades, and the cash in the bank's not going to matter much. So you're in a spot now that it's like just get the blokes you'd be happy with. Just make sure they're not a bloody Eels player, because then there's no point, right?
Yeah, exactly. 100%. Paul, is there anyone else that's kind of jumping out at you this week that you're thinking is a possible kind of trade in? Anyone that's you're thinking could go really big over the next couple of weeks?
A bit of a spoiler alert. We're going to talk about a few players. Luke and I, we put it up on the site on Thursday, and that's guys like AFB, Joe Tarpanay, all the way down to Dane Laurie, surprisingly enough, is under 500k. If you don't have the money to go high end. But yeah, there's a bunch of players there that are still worthy. It's just a matter of just hop online, look at the last three averages. There's a lot of players that this time of year, they're just firing at the right time. And if you just want to, like, you might have guys that, like, I've got Valence Tafare. And if you're like me, you probably got rid of him already. But, you know, someone like him that's just kind of petering out. I know Foggy's got Blake Wilson. Like, maybe you end up getting rid of those sort of players, or Sam and Smith, who did well. Brendan Hange, might have just kept holding him. I mean, most people moved on. But, you know, Will Pennicini, I think a lot of people were holding him. And I think that in some ways you might be smarter getting rid of these mid-priced players and trying to find that Toa Sipley-style guy who's just popping off right now.
Now, I guess probably some of the players that you might also look at this week are some guys like a Ruben Cotter, for instance, who might play a really big game.
Yeah, great shout. Great shout. I love Ruben Cotter as a player. He's obviously Origin, you know, like won the Wayne Lewis medal. He's got it all going for him. Peyton likes to spare him, you know, but this is 2 weeks to go. It's all on the line. There's no sparing. So you've got to get an absolute bargain price, and he should well exceed his current salary.
Yeah. And the other one I kind of like in that mid-range as well is Tino. I'm pretty sure he's got a pretty good track record against Melbourne. Bit of that playing against your old club, so I know he's... Yeah, so I do also like Tino at this week as well, and could be one of those sorts of things with a few players out injured and everything. He ends up playing that 70 to 80 minutes and kind of has to do everything.
Yeah, it's a risk-reward pick. It is playing his old club, but he's the type of guy who can go small or large. So probably just because the Titans are out of it, I'm not going to risk that for Tino myself. But I understand why you would, because the upside's there for sure.
Yeah. And, Floggy, there's probably one guy next week that we need to determine, almost need to decide this week if you save a trade for him. And that's Ryan Pappenhausen, because I think he'll play fullback next week.
Yeah, well, he's in the extenders this week, so it'll be interesting to see if he gets on. If he does, it's a bit interesting. The NRL's just dropped where the possibilities of once you start getting the chalkboard out, or the clipboard rather, and figure out where some games can go. There's a couple of games in particular that are very very deciding for the top eight, especially that five to eight spot, where depending on one game going one way, it can completely change that top eight. So a lot of even the higher sides, you know, normally are pretty set in their positions where they'll be. And one of them is one of those isn't the Storm this year. So normally I would have thought, maybe not. But I don't think I'd risk it on him. He's pretty pricey for a bloke who's been on that long. But it's pretty spicy, mate. It's pretty spicy. I've always loved having him on my side, but yeah, he gets injured a lot. That's the only issue with him.
Yeah, I think there is a huge risk there. Just the fact is that you have very likely a well rested Broncos side with a few players out, given that they but if they win this week, they almost certainly cannot fall out of the top two.
That's right. So that four spot is pretty heavily contended this weekend, especially. I think it's about there's still something like seven teams if you count the Storm. Oh, no, six teams that could make the top four this week, depending on where everything lies. So it's interesting the Storm not being there, so it's going to make their plays where normally they'd quieten down, rest a few people. They can't really afford to because for and against becomes very important. So a lot of those decisions were of luxury, where you get a chance to rest a few blokes. That's what I'm telling myself because I don't have much hooker cover. So I'm hoping Grant makes it and he gets a good run, but we'll see. It's going to be interesting because apart from those top two, maybe three, it's everything's up in the air at the moment.
Yep, exactly. And Paulie, one more just to shout out to you if people don't own him. I know you're an owner, so just going to shout this out. But Pat Carrigan, when Pat Carrigan's captain of the Broncos, he has an average, especially without Reynolds in the last couple of years, he's got an average of something like 75.
Yeah. Look, it's all going to come. Carrigan's, it all comes down to what Kevy wants to do with him. So he, you know, and the same with Haas to a degree too, because he does like to change up the minutes each week. We don't get predictable minutes out of Carrigan and Haas. So it is a risk. It's a risk with a really high reward. I don't think he'll be playing edge though. So I think that sort of aspect of it with the really high attacking stats might not be there, but definitely 60s. That's what I'll be hoping he gets between 60 and you know, maybe even 70. But
the two games this year, Paulie, without Adam Reynolds, he played 80 minutes. He's got a 97 and an 81.
Yeah, I'd be shocked. Like, I'd be pleasantly surprised if that happens. I do feel like this is I don't feel like there is light on this time around in their forwards. They're pretty stacked. Flegler's back and Hetherington's back. Like, there's been players out. I think some of those other games when Carrigan's had to play big minutes, there's been reasons. Yep. That's not related to Reynolds. It's just a coincidence. Reynolds was also out. So we'll see. We'll see. Like I said, I'd love it if it happened.
Yep. And then 2022, four games when Reynolds was out, he had a 55 in 57, 59 in 68, 53 in 70, 54 in 61. So that's probably where it more likely sits. But yeah, this year he's had some really good scores when Reynolds been out.
Yeah, agreed.
Has seemed to thrive having the captaincy put beside him. So it could be one that you might be sneakily looking at. And in actual fact, it's changed one of my mixer teams. I'm going to be changing my mixer team based on it. Froggy, anything else you want to quickly talk about before we kind of duck into some NRLW and some mixer?
Not really, mate. I think this week, just look at the matchups and try and make them work. Look at next week. You want to try and get as many on the field as you can. It's really tricky because some of those top three, top four might not play next week. But apart from that, mate, no one's got trades, so it doesn't matter really. So I think it's just that. And with Mixer, I think it's just you just got to get spicy with it, because every week, if you just follow the points, it gets you nowhere. So that was from what I've seen, what I've found. So,
yep. So let's have a chat about Mixer. Paulie, a couple of those edge options, we're kind of starting to run thin on female edge options. Shania Power is out for the rest of the season. Kind of just leaves us with Kezzy Apps and Christian Pio as two genuinely consistent options.
Yep. I'm definitely going to fade edges this week.
We do have
NRLW players. I think we got lucky with the Togo Turkey thing. I wish I was on it even earlier. That's now loopholes closed. Look, PO played really, really well on the weekend.
Yeah.
And I think Apps with a try, who didn't play as well, outscored her. So it's just tough when you're looking at these people who pass the eye test but are still and 45, I think PO got, it's a good score. Don't get me wrong, but I just think a guy like David Fifita this week could really pop off. And like last week, he didn't do an awful lot, and he still, I think, was it 68? It was a very high score. So I think that for mine, I'm going to – I don't want to steal your thunder, but I've got some other ideas for other positions for NRLW. I'll let you kind of go through them and see.
Let's start with Hooker this week. Now, on the back of last week, Emma Manselman got an 80. She did start on the bench. She's starting in the nine this week.
Yeah, they copped an early injury, I think, and Manselman came on, moved Caroy into the middle. And Caroy's not been named this week. She is in the reserves, so she might play. But, yeah, I'd say that Manselman will go back to, like, it's hard to see her not playing 70. The only thing against that sometimes we see this with Harry Grant is that sometimes they seem to do better when they know they're not playing the full game. They kind of go all out. So, that's the only thing. But, look, Manselman versus McInnes versus Harry Grant, I think that's your three. And, just opening up that edge to be a male player by picking Manselman's probably going to do it for me, but don't think she's going to score another 80. That's not going to happen.
No. You probably can expect her to score a try this week against Parramatta, but realistically, you can't expect her to get an 80. You can probably wouldn't be unfair, though, to expect a 50 to a 60. That's probably not unreasonable to expect.
Well, I'm not even going to do that, but, I'm very conservative, Timmy. if she gets between 50 and 60, I will be jumping for joy, because even if Harry Grant and McInnes outdo that, like, I feel like the combo of Fifita and a Manselman 50-odd is going to beat an NRLW edge player and a really good game for Grant or McInnes.
A PO on a Grant, yeah, exactly. I agree with that. And then we go to the mid. So I'm assuming based on that, Paul, you're looking at running a female mid. Now,
yep.
This is one position that we've got plethora of options this week.
Yeah, and Taufa did great for me last week.
Yeah.
That playing that Eels matchup, the revenge game, et cetera, et cetera. Boosted her, worked well. Now, again, spoiler alert, we've already filmed our Bundy Mix video this week. We just wanted to get it in early. It's not on, won't be online until Wednesday. That's the direction we've gone again as a group. However, personally, I may change to Georgia Hale. I'm looking at her very closely. I feel like that game against the Roosters, everything went against the Titans. I think they'll bounce back. They're a good team. I don't think they're going to put in two performances like that back to back. And I think Hale will lead the way. And I'm a bit low to go with these. When there's only six players, only three from each competition, of just picking and sticking and too much. Like, I do like to sort of go a bit up and down just to kind of try and catch those giant scores. And I feel like Hale might outdo Taufa this week, and I want to be on that. But nothing wrong with Taufa or even boosting Taufa because, I think she's just so solid, you know. And the Raiders need her, eh? Like, the Raiders are a good team, but they're not really making the top four without it. So, yeah, I'd do that.
My mid pick this week, I'm not picking a female mid this week. I was going with Tino, but I'm going to go with Carrigan instead now. My female mid this week, Paul, would be the Dragons 13, and I have so much trouble pronouncing her last name, Alexis Talanara. I've got nothing.
Yeah, I don't think any of the commentators get it quite right, or they do quite well. But yeah, I think the proper pronunciation would be Taunae. But even I'm not saying it exactly 100% right, I'm sure of it. I'll get pinged for that one at work now. We'll have to go back to Jessica and go, hey, help me.
And I bring it up because her minutes have picked up over the five games. She's now playing 70 minutes at lock. I think particularly this week is a really, matchup-wise, is really good for her. And I think if I was to pick a mid this week, because I think everyone else has kind of got... She's probably one that can go a little bit higher than the rest. I think everyone else can hit their 50s and that'll be great. Like, if you get a 50 out of a female mid this week, you've done really well. I just think Alexis is someone that could probably scratch a 60.
Yeah, on a female mid. She's a really, really good player, and she's playing those big minutes, as you said. I've probably got her just one rung. I've got her getting 50-plus as well on the predictor, but I still probably got her one rung below some of those other names, Toka Turkey. I don't know if she surpassed Millie Boyle just because of the type of footy that Boyle plays as opposed to those players. I mean, Denman's another one from the Broncos.
Yeah, Denman's been playing really well.
They're playing these roles, like Georgia Hale is kind of the expert at it. They're playing that Georgia Hale style, and every NRLW coach is now trying to copy and find their own version, which I think is why Talanea is... sort of come up into that category by Jamie Sauer because he's kind of watching what's going on and thinking, I need that. Yep. So it's definitely, for me, it's probably more just keep watching her just personally, but I know you like to go for it. So, again, that's where our personalities might, more about our personalities differing than the player.
Yeah, 100%. And you mentioned Denman there before. She had a massive game last week running for over 230 metres. The more I'm watching her, the more I think she could be a real smoky one in 1 or 2 weeks as well. I kind of want to see her do it again.
Yeah, she's someone I've probably got one rung above there because I trust Brisbane a bit more than Saints, and I don't trust Sauer that much. He flips his team a lot. So, I'd probably put Denman one rung above. I've been already watching her for a couple of weeks, getting keen on her. But I think this week I'll stick with Hale. But, look, you could be really clever and get one of those other two players and be the leader of the pack.
Yep. Now, I'm assuming, Paulie, that halves, you're still going to run with a male half, probably Cleary.
This is definitely Cleary's game. Yep. He seems to play better against sort of top-line teams. I don't know, Para are technically not a top eight this team this year, but I'd still put them in that category. And I think that, it's the local derby, the Western derby. There's a lot, the grand final rematch. I just think that Cleary's probably going to put a big game out there this week. And first up, it just makes sense to put him straight in, boost him, and take those points and let everyone else catch you down. It doesn't do that.
Yep. Now, that takes us to a female centre, and I'm assuming, Paulie, you're still running with a female centre, unless you're looking at a Dane Gagai.
Yeah, I don't want to. I've already done some spoilers, so I'm just going to let you have a guess what's happening there, and I'll give some good choices for female centres. I do think that Isabel Kelly's got a better matchup this week than last, so I do think that she is a great shout for centre, and I do think that if you're going to go a male centre, that Dane Gagai is the best shout for a male centre.
Yeah. The one that I'm... Look, I know she got the 100 the other week, Hufanga, and I kind of wanted to see how she backs up. I'm really going to be real critical over here. She's got some defensive flaws, and what she's able to do is that she kind of makes up for her defensive flaws by getting four tackle breaks and a try.
She's got a bit of Talakai or Valance Tafari about it.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what a predictor is this week.
In my head, my guess is it's about 55. Is that what its sitting predictor was?
91.
Yeah, right. 91. See, I wouldn't be upset with going against that. It's just I know that at some point there is going to be a halfback or a 5/8 out there that just makes her look incredibly silly, and she's going to rack up demerits.
Well, I'll tell you the one we need to talk about, and you mentioned 2 weeks ago, and and my predictor was a bit off, and I apologise to you off air, but not on about Ali Brigginshaw. And I'd said about how actually Brigginshaw has some great potential stats once that I'd fixed my little error on the predictor, which originally had her down, I think, in the 30s. So anyway, since that time that you brought her up, she's really gone very well and culminated in a 78 on the weekend. Now, Brigginshaw opens up the outside backs for Brisbane as well. I know she plays on the right, Fanga's on the left, but Brigginshaw plays all over the field. And as long as Brigginshaw is there, Fanga's got upside, massive upside. Mm-hmm. So it's a huge risk. Probably not one I'm making, like humble brag in the top 1,000. But if you're outside the top 1,000, top 2,000, you're probably more inclined to take a punt there because you can catch up very quickly in mixer. I mean, my first two rounds, I was well outside the top 2,000 and it took a couple of bold moves to get back in. So I think that for others out there, it's not a bad move. And from your perspective, Tim, you've been on the ball pretty much all year. You're probably better playing it safe and saying, I'll take that on and just make sure I don't sort of drop on other leaders.
And my biggest thing, and look, I'm all for people jumping on Hufanga. I really feel like at some point, there's going to be a halfback or a 5/8 that just makes her look so silly. And cool, if you get her and she goes on and scores a 50 to 100, which we've seen that she's capable of doing, well done. But I'm really worried recommending her because I always feel like there's a 12 or a 20 that she's got when one halfback decides to make her look silly, a bit like when a halfback decides to make Talakai look silly. So that does concern me.
So wing fullbacks then, what are you thinking? You've got to if you pick Gagai, you've got to pick an NRLW wing fullback potentially?
Yeah, honestly, mate, I think there's only one. And she's really stepped up the last couple of weeks. I think if you're going a female wing fullback this week, you've got to go Upton. That's where I sit. I know Palit could strike back. As you said, It's a better matchup for the Titans. They could go much better. But this, what I'm seeing out of Upton.
51, 52, which is a good score. I still like Pulido just because of exactly what you said, and I know I'd already mentioned it, but I just think the Titans are going to fight back, and that's my little bit of point of difference is Pulido over Upton. But I think you can't go wrong with either of those two, or I'll tell you one who's a bit out of the box. He's playing out of his skin, though. It's Jakai Whitfield. Now, this is kind of following the Greg Marju mentality or the Jermaine Asako mentality of picking a winger over a fullback. But she is doing it and doing it in style. And, in fact, there's a lot of NRW pundits out there that would like to see her get a shot at fullback because they think that she'd make a good fist of it because of the way her running style and all that from the wing. But she gets involved. She makes a lot of tackle busts. She's, when she gets in the clear, she's super speedy, so she really does. Can gap them, and then she can score tries. So, yeah, there's a lot to like with Whitfield as well.
Yep, and the only problem for Whitfield this week is the fact that she's up against probably one of the strongest teams in the comp in the Roosters, so she's probably going to be less likely to get the space, but she's proven so far that she can do it. So,
and the Raiders, hard to argue. The Raiders did sort of beat the Roosters, so it is potential, but you're right. But they've come good since that game. And at home, I think they're much tougher than, you know, when they went down to Canberra. That was a tough road trip for them too.
Yeah. Outside of that, probably not too much else. There's a couple of players there that you can look at. The Cowboys love a crash play, so Mackenzie Wheel is probably one that could fall over. But equally, they've got a very soft middle third as well, so someone from Parramatta you could jump on knowing that one of their middles might crash over for a try. A couple others there to throw out. I know Jasmine Peters had a really solid game last week for the Cowboys in what was a pretty ordinary effort from the rest of the team, apart from Manselman. She's the most experienced player in that back line now after a couple of injuries and moving Pallada out. So she's one that could stand up this week for the Cowboys. The other one is, and I don't know if it's going to happen, it's probably not going to happen, but Destiny Brill is one that I'm keeping a quiet eye on in case she ends up starting to play the full 70, because as soon as she starts playing the full 70, she'll run over the top of Manselman as well. Is there too much else there, Paulie?
And then just male wing fullbacks. I think we covered it off probably with guys like Ponga and that. But if you are going to go down that path, I think, you know, Ponga, Marju, like the Knights. And the other guy I'd say for centre too, for men's centre, is Jesse Ramien.
Yeah, I like that. And that's the other one for men's wing fullback this week is Joey Manu, who's available at wing fullback. So that could be another
option. That's a great option.
So you could end up with nearly 600 to 700 points this week, Paulie, if a few of these players come off. You could go with someone like a Cleary and a Hufanga and Joey Manu. All of these people could go 70 to 100.
Well, Manu and Hufanga could both get 90s, and then, like you said, Cleary could get a boosted 90. It'd be pretty unreal.
Like, it could very easily be pushing 600s this week if you get the right one.
For sure.
All right. Well, how about we wrap that up there and call it a night? All right. Well, thanks, guys, for being here. Thanks, Floggy. Thanks, Paulie. Well,
no worries, mate.
We'll see you all next week and run through it and see what we can do for the last round. Have a good day.
That's good. See you.
Bye for now.